I love Iowa, and it was nice to be here in the middle of the winter. But maybe there's another reason on me, I don't know. And the answer is yes, of course. I am giving thought to running for president. And the reason I'm giving thought is that, as I've indicated to you this afternoon, I see the middle class of this country disappearing. I see the rich becoming richer and everybody else becoming poorer. And I think we need some fundamental changes in public policy so that the government of America begins to represent the middle class and working families and not just the billionaire class. So those... That is what motivates me to think about running for president. And I think the ideas that I have laid out to you, and there's a lot more behind them, resonate with people all across this country. All across this country, people want to be able to send their kids to college and not see those kids come out deeply in debt, and uniquely among major countries, we charge so much for a college education. Healthcare, name the issue. And I think we need candidates who stand up unabashedly and say, you know what? I am prepared to take on the billionaire class and all of their money and all of their power so that the working families of this country get a fair shot. Now, why do I hesitate? You know, why don't I just say, hey, I'm going to run for president? Why not? Because here's why. It is terribly important, you know, running for president, as all of you can understand, is a mammoth undertaking. You don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, run for president. And to do it well, given the politics that I have outlined to you today, the only way that we could win this election, only way, is with a unprecedented grassroots movement all across this country. Give you just an example of things. If I were phenomenally successful in terms of fundraising, and I did something that I believe nobody has ever done in history, and got, say, 3 million Americans to contribute $100 each, that's a lot of money for a lot of families, 100 bucks, that's $300 million. That is one-third of the amount of money that the Koch brothers themselves are gonna spend, not to mention all the other billionaires who are gonna be spending money. So when you look at the real world, if I run, it's not just for me, it's carrying a banner for working families and the middle class. And if you do it, it has to be done well. Better not to do it than not do it well. So what I am trying to ascertain right now here in Iowa, talking to a lot of folks, in New Hampshire, around the country, is whether in fact there is the support. Is there the support in America, or are people so demoralized? Is there the support in this country for people to stand up and say, enough is enough? The billionaire class can't have it all, and we're going to mobilize to bring fundamental changes to Washington. And the answer is, you know what? I don't know. It's easy for me to give a speech, and you're here because you're supportive. How many of your friends are supportive? How many of them are prepared to work? How many of them are prepared to make a $50 contribution? So let me throw that out to you. That's a good question that you've asked. Let me throw it back to you. What's your name? All right, Clay, tell me, do you think there is the support in this country? Stand up.
I think there is the support out there. It was from President
Obama, I think that'd be you as well. All right, but I'm going to take on people that President Obama didn't take on.
Well, we'll just have to mobilize harder. I think it'll be done. People are getting really angry about this income inequality and climate change, and we're tired of it.
Okay, I want other people to comment on that issue, because that's, I need, look. Let me just say this, and this is where my politics are different than, you know, I'm the longest serving independent in the history of the Congress. My views are different. I'm close to the president, and I like him and respect him. We have our disagreements. But one thing I do know, which I think the president did not know after his brilliant victory in 2008 in one of the great campaigns ever run, right here in Iowa and elsewhere, is that you cannot be effective in taking on these people who have so much power by cutting your ties with grassroots America. In other words, if I or anybody else who stood up for working families was elected president of the United States, if you think that the day after the election your job would be done, you are terribly mistaken. Because any serious president who wants to fight for decent wages for workers, wants to change a disastrous trades policy, wants to fight for health care for all people, make college affordable, ask the rich to pay their fair share of taxes, you're going to be in a mammoth struggle every single day. And it is not going to be won in Washington alone. It is going to be won when millions of people stand up. Give you an example, all right? Right now, in terms of the discussion of student debt and the affordability of college, because of the work that a lot of young people are doing, it is getting more discussion. But let me tell you in one second how you win that fight. I will introduce, and others have introduced, good legislation. You bring a million young people to Washington, and you tell the Congress, support this legislation or you're not coming back, because we are tired of these outrageous student debts and the lack of affordability for college. You bring a million people to Washington, that legislation will pass. But if 80% of young people don't vote, I guarantee you that legislation will never get serious consideration. It cannot be. Some of us, Elizabeth Warren and others, we're trying. There are more good people in Congress than you think, and we're trying. But we cannot do it alone. Our colleagues in the Senate and the House need to get telephone calls and emails and maybe a visit from you demanding that they start responding to the needs of the American people. So that's my point. It's not only getting elected, it's actually governing. Do you follow what I'm saying on that? It cannot be, oh, hey, we elected a good president. Have a nice day. We're out of it. Politics, believe it or not, is 365 days a year. Not asking you to work day after day after day. But you have to continue to be engaged. Are we prepared to do that? I want to ask you that question. I want people to give me a solid answer or thoughts on that. Who has thoughts on that? Are the American people ready to stand up and take on the billionaire class? Yes.
Hi, Bernie Sanders.
Hi.
I think the people, and I've just recently done some work trying to get information about Senator Warren out there and what she's trying to do. I think they're ready for a champion. If you stand up and say, I'm going to be your champion on these issues, that I am actually your politician, that I'm just not here to toe the party line and to get the votes that I'm supposed to get and expected to get and to push you to be scared of my opposition to vote for me. If you are a champion for our issues, people will follow you.
Okay. All right. Okay, there's a young lady. Let's stay on that question. And again, I want to deal with the issue. Here's the real world, guys. In midterm elections, voter turnout is always low compared to presidential. This last time, it was a disaster. 80% of young people didn't vote. All right, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Young lady, yes. Yes, ma'am. Can we get the mic to her, Evan? Okay.
Good afternoon. I drove 4 hours to see you today, sir. It's really nice to have you in our state. I'm a registered independent here in Iowa. It gets kind of lonely sometimes. It's nice to have another independent here. I think your support is here. I think you've got it. Like you said, if you're going to be a champion, we have a lot of issues that need working on. We can't do it by ourselves. We got to have somebody in Washington, and I think the support's there. Run, and we're there with you.
Okay. Thank you. Other thoughts on that issue? Let's be real. I mean, and I have got to make this difficult decision, of which I should tell you my wife is less than enthusiastic. She's a lot smarter than I am. And that is, that you drove 4 hours to be here. That tells me a great deal, all right? People are demoralized. Let's not kid ourselves. A lot of people are giving up on the political process. That we all know to be true. Can we reignite them? Can we give them faith in the system? Okay, we got a hand for Evan, this young man over there. Yeah.
Hi there. So I would just say that I want to believe in America, but I'm afraid. And I think that I speak for a lot of younger men and women as to why we didn't vote. It's because we were afraid. That's why I chose, because I thought it was going to be business as usual. If we can have somebody that is going to be forthright and honest, say, look, this is my past, this is what I've done, this is where I've made mistakes, I can believe in somebody who's going to stand as a person rather than as a party. So,
okay. All right. Okay. Other thoughts we have on that issue? Evan, you got anybody back there? Have you got some hands up here? Right up in the two hands right here.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Senator. For 30 years, the left in this country has been silent. We've been giving ground every day, every election, refusing to stick to our principles. Senator Obama campaigned on single payer. He tried to get public option. He compromised with an employer mandate. And in 2014, the Democrats wouldn't even stand behind him then. They wouldn't even talk about the mandate. For 30 years, the left has been losing ground because they won't speak up. And by God, I think you're the man to get us to bring our voice back. And tell the billionaires we will not sell this country to them. Thank you.
Some people might think this ignorant, but I think that our generation, the millennials from 1980 to 2000, is going to change the world. We're the biggest generation that's alive now. And I think that with how much information we have and the abilities we have and the opportunities, that we're the ones that are going to change the world and do better.
Okay, good. Okay, let me do this. All right, maybe take one last question. Okay, one last question.
Good afternoon. First, I'd like to thank you so much for attending. We have had such a great lineup of guests in the past week. It's really been a great day and week to be a Drake student. But I would like to ask you, you kind of laid out a progressive agenda, which I really appreciated. As we move more towards 2016, how do we get candidates to move away from buzzwords and stump speeches towards actual, tangible, bipartisan plans to fix things like the debt and the economy and income inequality?
I wish I could give you a simple issue, a simple answer to that. And as you noticed, I you didn't hear me beat up anybody. Well, maybe the Koch brothers, but other. And I'm not, I've never, you're looking at somebody who's run for office many times, and I've never run a negative ad in my life because I think it's counterproductive and it's not just what I do. So what I'm going to say sounds partisan, and it's unfortunate that it is. I mean, we talked about climate change, and I wish that I can tell you that when I go back to Washington as a member of the Energy Committee or the Environmental Committee, that I'm going to be able to come up with a good, solid piece of bipartisan legislation. I can't. It's not going to happen. Unless, you know, the country forces my Republican colleagues, who in most cases actually deny what science is telling us, that climate change is caused by human activity. How do I forge a bipartisan coalition? I have to tell you this again, and I don't mean to be overly partisan, but, you know, read about it. Is, in my view, what the Republicans will be doing is fighting for more tax breaks for the wealthy and large corporations and moving to cut Social Security, Medicare, Pell Grants, nutrition programs. That's the reality. And I wish I could tell you differently. I'm not going to tell you every Republican is online to do that. But most are. They control the Congress. So I think the solution is, you know, you mentioned about the power of your generation. I think you guys have got to get deeply involved. Bring out that agenda and demand that Congress works for ordinary people. But I wish I could be more optimistic in the short term than I am right now. All right, let me just, this has been a great discussion. And I just want to thank our panelists again who did a great job, and thank Drake University for hosting this, and thank you all very much for being here.